that kind of talk that got Jesus killed. Call them hypocrites. Really bummed them out. The Pharisees were the, if you're sort of talking political, they were the liberals of the day, the Pharisees. The Herodians were more politically, the Pharisees were religiously motivated. The Herodians were politically motivated because they were members of the group that was with King Herod. And it was a politically charged environment. Jewish people, the Jewish nation, hated Rome. They were the Nazi occupiers. And it was just a politically charged environment. And they want to trap him. So it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Is it right to pay tax to Caesar? Well, if he said yes, then one group would be against him because he's siding with the emperor. If he said no, then the other group would be against him because he's threatening the emperor. So he just calls them hypocrites. Says, give me a coin. Okay, give it back to who it belongs. It's his coin, give it to him. But give to God what is God's. Those of us in the church are regularly called hypocrites. You ever heard that? I don't want to go to church. Sunday just filled with a bunch of hypocrites. I've heard it. I don't know about you, but you know, there's a lot of people that say that. And you know what? They're right. They're right. I am a hypocrite. I have done hypocritical things in my life. Now, for me, what that means is sometimes my actions and behaviors are separated from my motivation and vice versa. My father used to say some things that I think about every now and again. One was he used to really like the fact that he was Archie Bunker of Raymond Road in Auburn, Michigan. Had his chair. Get out of the chair. He'd come home, that was his chair. Nobody sat in the chair. I was the meathead, right? I'd be sitting in the chair. Get out of the chair. The other thing that he said was, I'm the king. I'm the king of the house. Finally made sense to me when I saw the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the woman says, ah, yes, the father is the head, but the mother is the neck that moves the head wherever she wants it to go. So, yeah, dad was the king. He was the head. He was the head. Mom was the neck. But here's the one that I didn't like. Some of you may have heard this before as a young person, and this one may have even slipped out of your own mouth. Do as I say, not as I do. It's another thing that my dad used to say. I didn't take to that very well. Because in some senses, that's the real definition of hypocrisy. That's why in the church, we take a beating. Because we come and we gather on Sunday, and we pray, and we say one thing, and we read the gospel, and then we turn around and we do whatever we want to do. And then as Catholics, we also take the hit. Oh, sure, do whatever you want to do during the week, and then you come to church on Saturday, and you go to confession, and then you're all cleaned up. Well, I mean, we can take that hit legitimately. But what the real question is, what is your motivation? It's not that you have sinned. It is not that you have acted or I have acted hypocritically. when my actions, my behavior, and my inner life have been in disregard, have been in discord, have been separate. That I've said one thing and I've done something else. That my motivation and my heart, you know, I mean, all of this kind of stuff. Yes. St. Francis says, you know, the only thing we can claim as our own is, in fact, our sinfulness. Think about that. Is there anything that you have in your life that you have earned? Or is it gift? Has God, in fact, given you the gift of life? The gift of your intelligence? The gift of your heart? Now, we have struggled to open our hearts to more fully embrace the living mystery of God. But I've been thinking about that since, yeah, for probably a month or two now. Those words of St. Francis. What do I own that is really mine other than my sins? I mean, those are the things that I've really contributed to, that I've worked on. Everything else is gift. Well, you see, if we come to the Lord with that kind of understanding, if we come to the Lord desiring His mercy and offering to give our heart and our life all that we have, then I think we can be guarded against the sin of hypocrisy. But Jesus wasn't just saying to these folks, you have committed an error. It wasn't around the quality of an action. He was talking about the quality of the character of their person. That at your root, at your core, you are a hypocrite. You whitewashed sepulchre. You present this positive image on the outside, but on the inside, you are filled with corruption. And they wanted to kill him because he was saying that. And they did kill him because he was saying that. I have had the experience, maybe you have, but I know I have, where somebody has caught me in my own hypocrisy and I have gotten really angry. They've told me the truth about who I am. And maybe I didn't want to see it, I didn't want to hear it, and I got really honked off by it. But you know, after I took some time to think about it, they were right. They were right. The second reading says, we brought you the gospel. St. Paul is talking to the church in Thessalonica. In Thessalonica. And he says, we brought you the gospel not only in word, but in power and the Holy Spirit and conviction. Not only in word. Why? Because talk's cheap, right? But St. Paul brought to the church not only this gospel, not only these words, but power and the Holy Spirit and conviction. I think it's very easy to be caught in hypocrisy when all we have to offer is our words. Talk's cheap. We've heard that. If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. It gets kind of scary when I really look at my life and what I attempt to do here every Sunday. And I suspect Father Greg feels the same thing. Get up here and share with this wonderful group of folks my thoughts about God. Whoa. Are they just words? Or are they based in power and conviction and the Holy Spirit? Am I being a hypocrite? I need to ask myself these questions. How does my life, the fullness of my life, reflect out? Do I allow people to know me? To know my brokenness? Do I have the courage to be honest? I mean, these are questions that I have to ask myself and that I would offer to you that all of us have to offer as Christians as we go forward. That all that we are given is gift. What we have of our own is our sin. That's why when we look at it, we hear the words in our first reading, I am the Lord, I am God alone. Boom. And that this God, whose mystery is beyond our comprehension, comes to us not only in word and words, but in conviction and in power that is based in the Holy Spirit. My prayer for us individually and as a church is that we open our hearts and our lives to the power and the presence of that Holy Spirit. When we do, we will be changed. I can't help but think that's what you guys did when you spent that time in prayer in the church. You opened your hearts, not only in word, but in conviction and in power in the Holy Spirit. Because that's an example of faith. And people saw that and they responded to it and they recognized it. They might not have understood it. And you might have got pushback from people that know you and know you in other communities and other churches saying, what in the blue blazes are you thinking? You guys are being hypocritical. Why are you doing that? You did it because of the conviction of your heart, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we don't know what our small gathering and our prayers are going to mean. It may be 30, 40, it may be 100 years from now. But that prayer and that example of faith, it doesn't go away. It's not lost. It's not a matter of do as I say, not as I do. Because there's got to be that connection. And that's what we're praying for. Be authentic, to be real. The best thing somebody can say about us, I think, is what you see is what you get. It's like there isn't anything hidden here. Here's us, here's me, with all my warts and all my brokenness. Last weekend I was staying with my cousins and they're cradle Catholics, you know. And they're a bit older than I am, so they're in their early 70s. And they've done a lot of parish closings and changes and moves and all types of things. And they had merged a couple parishes, and then they had a new priest that came in. And the priest is probably my age, maybe a year or two older. But his story was he was an engineer. He was married, had three children, was divorced, got his marriage annulled, and then came into the priesthood after that. I kind of understand that. He went through all of the channels. He did what he needed to do. Now, you would think that the members of that parish would be like, yeah, that's pretty cool. We got a guy that's been there. My cousin says, not so fast. People really don't like him. Some. They grumble. Because he didn't do it the right way. There's a way that this needs to be done. You got to follow the rules. And he didn't follow the rules. Came in the back door. My cousin says he's a great guy and he tries really hard. Okay? But he's not totally accepted. I don't know really what to say beyond that, other than it breaks my heart. And you just want to say, that's too bad to those folks that aren't accepting of this guy. Because he would have so much wisdom, so much life experience. Because he has the courage to live from the conviction of his heart. So beware, as Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware of hypocrisy. May the Lord guard our hearts and our minds and our spirits, that we may fully understand, love, and proclaim his holy gospel. May the Lord bless us in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, please stand.